If you would please, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1. You notice as I read, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In verse 14 he said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Lord Jesus, I do pray that you just speak to our hearts tonight from your word. Give us what we need. Help us to apply these spiritual truths accordingly. Help us, Lord, not to just be hearers, but Lord, to be doers of your word. And Lord, I do pray for these ministries that so desperately need to be filled, for a director, of someone that could be the coordinator over the prophet's chambers, for cleaning, for someone who could be over the nursery, for laying out the schedule there, for someone who could be over our children's church and lay out the schedule there. It sure would be a blessing to have help in these areas. And we are praying, Lord, that you would provide someone who could help with our music, Lord, that could help with our youth group. And we're thankful for those who are plugged in and serving. And I know, Lord, most of the people I'm speaking to this evening have a ministry. And Lord, they are involved, and I thank you for that. I thank you for all that they are doing. And Lord, I pray that you would burden the hearts of our younger couples in the church to get more involved and to be a part of these things. It would be a great blessing to have them as part of this. And Lord, you never intended for ministry within the church to just all be ran by one or two people. It's a team effort. And so, Lord, I do pray that we would put forth that effort and help where we can. We don't want to stand before you one day, Lord, having the opportunity to serve you, but yet we didn't. And again, these are really simple tasks that would be a small task, but such a huge help if someone could help with these issues. And Lord, I just pray now as we go into your word that you'd speak to our hearts and give us what we need through your word this evening. In Christ's holy name, amen. We've all seen a hamster on a hamster wheel who's just running and running and running and running and running. And you know, sometimes our spiritual life can be like that. Sometimes our lives are like being on that hamster wheel and just going 90 to nothing, but we're not really getting anything accomplished. And the idea here is many times is because we're just not willing to yield to the Holy Spirit. And in the process, we are spiritually dying. And I want to ask you this evening, where's your life when it comes to spiritual maintenance? Do you often find yourself on a hamster wheel going 90 to nothing? And then you sometimes look around and think, boy, am I really even getting anything accomplished? It's so easy to do that, even for pastors as well. It's easy to be so busy, and you get caught up in projects and programs, and the next thing you know, you have to ask yourself, well, what are we really accomplishing? What are we accomplishing? And the truth is, we don't know what we're doing. We need help in knowing what to do. We need help, and when we're not right with God, it'll make us spiritually and physically sick. And that's why God gave us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, to help us, because we don't know what we're doing. None of us. We need the help of the Holy Spirit, our resident truth teacher. In verse 6, he said, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." You know, a Christian that yields to the Holy Spirit is also going to be led by the Holy Spirit. I think many times we are scratching our head wondering, well, which way, Lord, do you want me to go here? What's the answer? But the truth is, we're not being led because we're not yielding. So we have to bring ourselves back to that process of yielding to what the Lord wants us to do most. And most importantly is that we glorify God with our lives, and that we begin the day in God's Word, that we live in God's Word, and be willing to allow God to lead us instead of trying to lead ourselves. Listen, I know the world's philosophy is, it's often stated, well, follow your heart. Don't follow your heart. Our heart will let us down. It will sadly disappoint us. We know that. You know that. For as many, he said in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We read over in John chapter 16 and verse 13, howbeit, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. So understand, the Holy Spirit, as born-again believers, we have the Holy Spirit. And he is our resident truth teacher. He will lead and guide us. The Holy Spirit desires to guide us. He wants to guide us into God's truth, especially. You know, if we desire spiritual life, then we must be willing to stop or to yield and take the time for spiritual life. We have to yield to the Holy Spirit and believe that the Holy Spirit is God. Understand, the Holy Spirit is an equal person with the Godhead who desires to lead us off of the hamster wheel and allow for us to have profitable, fruitful Christian life that is truly accomplishing something for God's glory. In Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Ghost. And you'll recall what Peter said to them. Peter said, "Thou hast not lied to men, but to God." And so we see the Holy Spirit as God. He's part of the Trinity. And we see, we also know that we're not supposed to focus on the Holy Spirit as many churches do. There are a lot of charismatic Pentecostal churches. They place all the emphasis on the Holy Ghost. And we know we're not supposed to do that. The Holy Ghost, as a matter of fact, is always directing us back to the Lord Jesus. Always. He's not front and center. In fact, many theologians have shared he is the quiet person of the Trinity, but the powerful leading person of the Trinity. And so it's not that we focus solely on the Holy Spirit. Our focus is to glorify God. But in the process, we'll glorify God by the leading and teaching of God's Holy Spirit. The believer's mental well-being is always powered by the condition of our heart, which completely depends on us yielding to the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want to speak to you about this evening, our spiritual maintenance. Maintaining a spiritual balance, if you will, a spiritual balance to where we are taking care of our spiritual lives. We are slowing down, taking the time for that maintenance. And I want you to notice first, before we go into the maintenance part, notice the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, again, probably the most misunderstood person in the Trinity because of the false prophets, the way they have presented the Holy Spirit to the world. And so many people have bought into that. But let's just talk for a moment about what the Holy Spirit does. Well, the Holy Spirit, first, he reproves the world of sin. John 16, again, verse 8, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. And the word here, reprove, actually means to convince. He convinces a lost world of sin. You know, before we trusted Christ as Savior, we had to be convinced of the fact that we are sinners. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He convinces us that, yes, I am a sinner. And without the work of the Holy Spirit, we would not recognize our sin, nor would we realize our need for the Savior. But also, not only does he reprove the world of sin, but he regenerates every believer. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 tells us, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. We are regenerated by the Holy Ghost, and we'll explain that more in a moment. John 3 and verse 6, as a support, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so when we talk about regenerating the individual soul, when the Holy Spirit regenerates us, it actually means that he is going to regene us. He's going to regene, rebirth, or spiritually to renovate. And when we place our faith and trust in Christ, the Holy Spirit regenerates us. He renovates. He completely renovates, rebirths, regenes us from the genes of the old man to now having the genes of the new man provided by the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting to note that all three members of the Trinity play a part in our salvation. God the Father draws us, the Holy Spirit convinces us, and we are saved by the blood of Jesus. So all three have an equally important part in our salvation. But also, notice, he indwells every believer. Romans 8 and verse 9 again, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, this is dealing with Christians, believers. This is not speaking, as the Apostle Paul was writing here, he's not speaking to unchurched people, lost people, but to those who are saved. If you really know the Lord, then you have his Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What know ye not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Listen, we are immediately indwelt at salvation with the Holy Spirit. Listen, we don't receive Christ one day and then receive the Holy Spirit a few months later. we do not receive Christ and then aspire or attain certain levels in our Christian life to have the Holy Spirit. Now, some false prophets teach that. You know, you can't really be a mature Christian, some believe, until you speak in tongues, until you have spoken in tongues, you can't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Well, we know that's not true. He reproves the world of sin, he regenerates every believer, and he indwells every believer. But also, the Holy Spirit seals every believer. You'll remember back in Ephesians 1 and verse 13, we're told, at the moment we trust Christ, we are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. He's the guarantor of our faith. He's the one who seals us till the day of redemption. And after we believe, we are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which, if you will, is also eternal security. He provides that eternal security. We're kept by the power of God through the eternal security of the Holy Spirit, who is our guarantor for our salvation. In the corporate world, a seal or a stamp signifies ownership. It signifies an ownership, like a king applying his ring to a wax seal. It proclaimed ownership, or that this was from the king. When you see a stamp made in the USA, that's an ownership. And that's how we look at a seal, and that's the seal the Holy Spirit has placed upon us, that we are God's child, and he guarantees that. He is the earnest. He's that deposit, that down payment, that earnest security for the believer. But also, he intercedes for every believer. He's constantly interceding for us. In Romans 8, down in verse 26, notice that same chapter. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the spiritual itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And that is so true. We've all found ourselves at that place at one time or another where we really didn't even know what to pray. I was just dealing with an individual this past week who told me, you know, there have just been times I didn't know what to pray, and the Holy Spirit, I know, was praying for me. And he will. He is constantly interceding for us. And you know what? It's okay when we find ourselves there to just go before the Lord with a quiet spirit. That's okay. He knows our need. We don't always know what to pray, but he knows what we need. But also, the Holy Spirit illuminates every believer. Over in John chapter 6 and verse 13, howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. So he reproves the world of sin. He regenerates every believer. He indwells every believer. He seals every believer till the day of redemption. He intercedes for every believer. And he illuminates every believer. Listen, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And he reveals truth to the believer from the Word. But keep in mind, the discovery of truth is not the main objective here. The main objective is to obey the truth. And that's why he wants to illuminate the scriptures to us and teach us the scriptures so that we can grow and participate in doing these things, these acts of obedience to God's word. That's the main objective, not just to gain knowledge and to learn the truth, but to actually apply the truth, to apply the truth. And you know, one of the going arguments with the atheist crowd is that Christianity is a blind faith. And you know, so many people misinterpret that, and they don't really understand. He's told us that, I think it was Thomas that he spoke with, "Blessed you have seen, but blessed are those who have not seen." But it doesn't say, blessed are those who have no evidence. Man, there are mounds of evidence for Christianity, for the resurrection of Christ. It's not the idea that, well, we are just blindly believing. Oh, no. There's evidence. There's historical evidence. There's theological evidence. There's chronological evidence. And when you go through all of the many evidences, it's not just blindly believing something. And they will often want to point that out and refer to it as a circular reasoning. There's just too much proof. You go online and you listen to someone like Dr. John Lennox, the scientific mathematician from Oxford University. Just amazing, the great depth that he can share on the evidence of God and intelligent creation. And he's not, in fact, I was listening to him just last night, and he doesn't want to be known as an apologist, one who just teaches. You know, a lot of people are caught up in that today, apologetics. And, you know, what's also interesting, you'll find many Calvinists are caught up into apologetics, and which I don't like the word, first and foremost, because it almost sounds like an apology. It comes from the Greek word apologē, which means a defense of God's word. And, you know, many people will study God's word just to build a defense. But God doesn't want us to study his word just to build a defense. He wants us to see the evidence, and he wants us to apply those truths to our hearts and lives, that we would be the testimony and example to a lost world we should be. And so, you know, many people will look to the Christian faith and they say, well, it's just circular reasoning. You know, man wrote the Bible, and, you know, you can't really prove this, you can't prove that, but there are just mounds and mounds and mounds of evidence. And it's not that God said there's, blessed is he who believes and has no evidence, but those who have not seen. And by the way, for the individual who I know, there's lots of people who today, at first it was just people saying that they died and went to heaven. And now you've got people saying they died and went to hell. And folks, you know why we know that is a lie and it's not true? I'm not saying they didn't dream that or something. They probably dreamed it. They probably had death on their mind when they were put to sleep for a procedure. I don't know. But I do know this. The Bible says it is appointed unto man, finish it with me, once to die, and then the judgment. Once. We're not going to die twice. We're not going to die three times. Once, and then the judgment. So there's no such thing as people dying, going to heaven. The Bible speaks directly against that, appointed unto man once to die. But also notice here, we see in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, now I want you to see, for the believer, the mistakes of the believer that we'll often make in trying to maintain our Christian life. The mistakes of the believer, well, we can, of course, grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not, here it is, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And the context shows here in Ephesians, the context shows that we can grieve the Holy Spirit with our sin. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. We all have been hurt by others at one time or another. And that's how God feels when we sin and we grieve His Holy Spirit. But also, not only can we grieve the Holy Spirit, we can quench the Holy Spirit. A little different meaning. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 tells us, quench not the Spirit. And the word quench comes from the Greek word that actually means to extinguish. To extinguish. You read before of the smoking flax that imitating that candle wick that has been snuffed out, and the only thing left there is just the rising smoke. And so it's actually to quench the Holy Spirit is to be extinguished. And we most often quench the Holy Spirit when we walk away and refuse to listen. We can be hard-headed. And in the world of technology, there's a new development. It's actually called hypersonic sound. The inventor, Woody Norris, has engineered sound waves to travel like a laser beam up to a mile away. And you can hear the sound as long as you are standing in the right location, while others around you would be left in total silence. So the way this thing works for up to a mile away, as long as you're in the right position, the right location, you could hear a conversation a mile away. But if you're not right there in the right location, you'll not hear it. And even others around you, just a few feet away, they're not able to hear that sound. It's just they're all the time working on developing new things for war, for battle. And that's one of the things they have developed. And you know, the problem with many believers today is, you know, we truly want to hear from God, but we're not standing in the right place. We're not in the right location. We're not. You've always heard people say, well, until you know what to do, just do what you know you're supposed to do. And that's what we should do. Let's just do what we know to do and keep plodding forward, keep doing what we know is right, and keep living for the Lord, and He's going to reveal what He wants us to do. Could be that it's just not time for Him to show us a particular aspect of His will. Could be that we're just not mature enough to know that part yet. But if we'll keep plodding forward and doing what we know is right, He will come through and show us. God will show us what we need to do. God's communication with us is very similar to that long-distant laser hearing device. If we move away from that pathway, or we move away from His voice, we're going to miss the message. Don't be so busy that we miss our spiritual maintenance in life. I have another sermon I preach entitled, Beware of the Barrenness of a Busy Life. Many times a busy life can be a bare life, where we are bare of all of the things of God, but yet we're working so hard for the things of God. So first and foremost is our spiritual well-being as believers. We quench the Spirit when we say no, or when we ignore the Spirit of God. When we ignore God's Spirit, when we say no, when He burdens us to start something or stop something and we say no, that quenches the Holy Spirit. And many times when things go bad, what do? Well, some people have the mindset to blame God. They'll blame God, and we quench the Holy Spirit in the process of doing that. I've heard people say before, and I'm speaking of people who have made profession of faith, that will have the mindset, you know, my life's just always been difficult. No matter what, everything's just always been difficult. Everything's always been hard. And I just don't understand why God would let these things happen to me. And some will even go as far as saying, you know, I don't even know if God really loves me. But, you know, we should never have that mindset or that idea. You know what that is? When people have the mindset, well, you know, things just never have gone right for me. Things have just always been difficult. Things have always been a failure. I'm always on the losing end. Listen, that is a narcissistic way of thinking. It is. It's a self-centered, self-worshiping way of thinking. It's thinking only of ourselves and thinking of poor me. And one of the main traits of a narcissistic mindset is self-pity. And we need to guard against that. We need to be cautious of that. We must take responsibility for our own lives. We must be willing to follow in obedience, to apply God's truths to our hearts and lives, and be willing to move forward for the glory of God. And when we say no to loving, or we say no to serving, or we say no to scriptural giving, or we say no to holy living, well, we are quenching the Holy Spirit. It's totally quenching and it's extinguishing that spiritual flame in our lives. So we first see the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He reproves the world of sin. He regenerates every believer. He indwells every believer. He seals every believer till the day of redemption. He intercedes for every believer, and he illuminates every believer. He is our resident truth teacher. Second, we see our mistakes. We can easily grieve the Holy Spirit, and we can quench the Holy Spirit. But then lastly, and very quickly, I just want you to notice the maintenance of the believer. The maintenance, first of all, we have to confess all known sin. Be willing to confess all known sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That we would be willing to confess any known sin. The psalmist said in Psalm 51, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." Now, if we're grieving the Holy Spirit by living in sin, the first step to freedom is confession. Confession. Listen, don't ever forget this. Our greatest strength, the greatest strength we can ever have, is to realize our greatest weakness. And when we can realize our greatest weakness, listen, folks, that is a great strength to have. Some people can never come to the conclusion of what their weaknesses are because of pride. But when we're able to recognize our greatest weakness, that is our greatest strength. The Apostle Paul said, "When I am weak, then am I strong." Yield totally to God. Romans 6:13. "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God." Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Listen. You recall learning about the graveyard of sin back in Ephesians. And listen, we are no longer living there. We don't have to live there. We are now born-again believers, and we don't have to live that way. And he said, you are alive from the dead. Consider Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. He told us, the Apostle Paul said, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus." And by the way, there's a new teaching going about today referred to as Apollyon. And listen, no such thing as Apollyon teaching. And those are people who, they don't want to fully receive all of the Apostle Paul's writings that God used him to write in the New Testament. And when people firmly stand on God's word, the bottom line is it's not Apollyon, it's God. God's word. It was never Paul's word. It is God's word. He just used Paul to pen it. But there are people who are now saying, well, oh, you don't believe it's really possible for homosexuals to serve in the church. You don't really believe that because you're Apollyon in your doctrine. No, it's a matter of being part of God's word and receiving God's word. So don't buy into that lie. Lewis Berry Schaefer said, "Nothing is more misdirected than a self-directed life." Positive thinking books, they're everywhere. There's all kind of books that promote the Christian. Be all that you can be the most you can be. Don't get caught up in that. All these positive thinking books. You just be positive about God and be willing to glorify God, and He'll take care of the rest. We can waste our time with those kind of readings and books. Don't waste your time with that. I'll tell you a good one. If you have Audible, listen to The Abolition of Man. The Abolition of Man, written by C.S. Lewis. Just a phenomenal book. And every Christian should listen to that. The Abolition of Man. And we need to be able to stay apart. We need to be able to stay apart from the world so that we can be what God wants us to be, but not so much that we are not able to reach the world. It's not a matter of staying so far from the world that we can't reach the world. We need to be able to reach the world and be able, because we live here, whether we like it or not, it's always going to be that way till God takes us home. But also, yield totally to God as part of our maintenance, but also be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 tells us, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And the whole idea there, it's not just a jab against alcoholic beverage, though it can be. The idea there is don't be drunk with the things of this world, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. In the Greek, the word filled means to be finished, or by the Holy Spirit, to be finished, or controlled by the Holy Spirit. A drunk man controlled by alcohol is easily persuaded for wrong things. And we should be that controlled of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not speaking of these goofy people that, you know, act like they're drunk in the spirit. We don't buy into that. But that we would be that committed to being filled with the Spirit. Schaefer also said the problem in being filled is not to get more of the Holy Spirit, but rather the Holy Spirit would get more of us. Once you get saved, we get all the Holy Spirit we're ever going to get. You say, well, whoa, wait a minute. I thought there was more. And there, a few years ago, there was churches coming out with a study called More, So Much More. Well, there is more in growing. But when we get saved, we receive all of the Holy Spirit we're ever going to receive. It's a matter of Him getting more of us. That's what it comes down to. And then lastly, walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." When we're walking in the Spirit, we're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, we come to church and our spiritual life is awakened for a moment. Then we leave church, and if we're not careful, we'll fall apart and find ourselves right back on that hamster wheel. As walking has become a normal part of our life, our physical being, yielding to the Holy Spirit should be a normal part of our spiritual being, just as walking to our physical being. And so, remember, the word yield means to submit or to concede. And if you're on one of life's many hamster wheels, I want to encourage you. I encourage you to yield to the Holy Spirit. Let's yield this year and take time for spiritual maintenance. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time together with our folks. Lord, help us that we would not find ourselves on the hamster wheel, but Lord, that we would be able to come apart. Lord, that we could just set aside a time to come apart and spend time alone with you so that our lives can be worth and so that our lives can be fruitful for your glory. Otherwise, we'll find ourselves on one of the world's many hamster wheels, just going and going and never accomplishing anything. So we thank you, Lord, for what you'll do through the preaching of your word. In Christ's holy name, amen. Thank you. And